Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill.
The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
Check us out on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed yet, you can do that right now. Just head on over to YouTube, check out 99.9 The Fan Raleigh, hit the subscribe button, and get all of our content. Whether it's Shot of Joe to Go, stuff from this show, some ACC Panic Room, it's all there. Check out the YouTube channel. Just look up 99.9 The Fan. You know, it was a pretty wild AFC-NFC Championship Sunday, Joe, when the trailer for Cocaine Bear wasn't the thing that got most people to go, wait a minute, what? I think that moment probably happened in the Kansas City Chiefs Cincinnati Bengals game where they gave the Chiefs a do-over because they didn't hear the whistle, or any number of times that people wanted to question the calls. The only call that they weren't going to question yesterday was the final play that set up Harrison Butker's game-winning kick. But it wasn't the greatest conference championship weekend. But it certainly provided a bunch of storylines coming out of Sunday's game. Like, what are the San Francisco 49ers going to do at quarterback going forward?
And you already know the answer to that.
I do know the answer to that. And what is how healthy is Patrick Mahomes going to be in the next 2 weeks when they take on an Eagles team who, another storyline, has had bracket luck, for lack of a better term?
I still haven't heard the lead of the weekend yet.
And that is?
Just how bad the officials were.
Oh, can we stop
in the
with
fourth
that?
Quarter of the Chiefs and the Bengals
okay.
game?
All right. You're triggering me.
No, you're being dismissive of the... Can we stop with that?
No.
So you start. You tell me. Because we're going to start from the premise of officiating is difficult.
No, say what you need to do. Say what you need to say.
All right. In the fourth quarter of... In the first three quarters of the football game... Mm-hmm. The first three quarters of the football game, mm-hmm. there were four penalties called on the Bengals. There were four penalties called on the Chiefs. Did anyone have a problem with the first three quarters of the football game and how it was officiated in that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone? Probably not.
I don't know.
In the fourth quarter, there was a flag on the ground six times.
Mm-hmm.
Six.
Mm-hmm.
Five of those times, the flag was thrown against Cincinnati. One, it was thrown against the Chiefs.
Okay.
What happened in the fourth quarter?
What are you insinuating?
What happened in the fourth quarter?
What are you insinuating?
What I'm insinuating is, how can the game be even, and it was a tie game, by the way, so how can the game be even for three quarters in every way possible? And then all of a sudden we get to the fourth quarter and it's five penalties to one, which wasn't accepted because it was a holding play on a successful play by the Bengals.
Yeah.
And I'm not even arguing about the last play. He hit Mahomes out of bounds, or he pushed him when he was out of bounds. Then Mahomes absolutely flopped once he was out of bounds to embellish the call and get the call.
Good for him.
I don't hate Mahomes for doing what he did, but we should call it what it was. You can't tell me in the NFL where there is literally a penalty on every single down that you're going to call holding, which is somewhat subjective at this point.
It is.
You're going to call holding on the Bengals. They called one on offense, one on defense. They called a pass interference that wasn't even close to pass interference. They called and then the other one was the intentional grounding that they called that Burrow had done three or four times earlier in the game because analysis break. The Bengals' offensive line, which was missing 60% of its starters from week 16, was not good.
Mm-hmm.
Analysis. The Chiefs' defensive ends were outstanding against the terrible offensive line. Ultimately, the game was won by the Chiefs' defense.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately. But you can't sit here and tell me, with that look on your face, that you thought the Bengals got a fair shake in the fourth quarter of a game. On the road, by the way, let's get back to the NC State Boston College call that was incorrect. Oh, really? The human beings that are involved in the game were influenced by the other people in the building? Huh. I am. Knock me over with a feather. I've never seen that before. So, the floor is yours.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group.
How many of those calls actually had direct impacts on
all of them? Because it's a cumulative effect.
Some of them were, nothing came out of those penalties. There was a lot of ball don't lie.
No. The intentional grounding, which sends you back on a loss of down penalty, yes, that has an effect. It takes time off the clock, by the way.
You gave me
to which they had to use the timeout when they had two timeouts left.
I'm with you on the intentional grounding one, but those other ones,
the PI.
No, but those other ones, ultimately, nothing really came out of them. And on top of, I get that time comes off the clock, but it's not like the Chiefs did anything with it in return. I'm with you on the intentional
time that comes off, and there's also field position where Cincinnati had to start the drives.
So
also the whole tenor of the quarter becomes every time there's a flag on the ground, you're going, well, what happened?
Yeah.
And every time you're like, all you had to do was look at Zach Taylor. You can dismiss me all you want. All you had to do was look at the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Every head coach and every player knows you're going into a game with having to overcome the officials. Doesn't matter the sport. Every sport, every game, every player will tell you that. They can complain about the officiating after the fact, but you understand that you have to play well enough to overcome those things. And even the smallest of mistakes, you can get on Patrick Mahomes for embellishing. That's gamesmanship, okay?
I had no issue with the last call.
Even if he didn't embellish it, he pushed him out of bounds. Osai pushed him out of bounds. Yeah. And you got to call that. That gets called 100% of the time.
Especially on the home, for the home team.
Okay.
Especially.
Well, screw that. Screw that. Because you're now diving back into like the home team gets all the calls, which then gets back to home field advantage.
Sure.
Okay. Well, that's why you play these things. And as much as the Bengals want to talk about they're slighted and we had a chip on our shoulder, they were selling they were selling conference championship tickets in Atlanta, we're going to prove them wrong, blah 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 blah, the Bengals also understand these things. But here's my problem with discussions about officiating. What good does it do you? What are we accomplishing when talking about the officiating? To me, when we start talking about officiating, we're talking about the lowest common denominator thing from the game. It's the one thing that the most basic-ass fan can talk about, and it accomplishes that. Like I can really break down officiating and not understand why the other team ultimately won the game. You know why the Kansas City Chiefs ultimately won that game and the Bengals lost? Is because Patrick Mahomes is a freaking dude. That's why they won that game. In fact, what ended up happening on Sunday was a prime example of why the quarterback position is so freaking important. All right? You had, on one hand, the San Francisco 49ers proving to you, as much as Kyle Shanahan can be credited for scheming up to getting to the conference championship game with Brock Purdy, their third string quarterback, okay? Let's not forget that they went Trey Lance, thank you. Trey Lance doesn't even play. Jimmy Garoppolo is the savior. He gets hurt, and they ride this wave of Brock Purdy. They're down to Josh Johnson, who's been in the league, 15 years on 30 different teams at this point? So, and then he got hurt to the point where we're wondering about Christian McCaffrey and whether or not they're going to run Wildcat with him, which were ultimately denied. But they put Brock Purdy back in there, but he can't throw the ball down the field with his shoulder. So they still kept that game relatively close for as long as they possibly could. But ultimately, without a quarterback, they were DOA. Flip it. The Kansas City Chiefs had how many guys hurt in that game?
Oh, their top three receivers.
They're left with a guy who did what at NC State, Joe?
Dropped every pass that I ever saw him thrown his way.
Green Bay Packers fans helped him pack his bags, okay? Green Bay, out! I don't want you here. You're not a guy that Aaron Rodgers can play with. And he ends up in Kansas City where he ended up looking great thanks to Patrick Mahomes, all right? Shout out to one of my favorite music follows who pointed out that Pacheco, was it Isaiah Pacheco? Sounds like a session drummer who worked on some Steely Dan albums back in the day. And they were making, and he was hurt. And yet, a hobbled Patrick Mahomes still found enough juice to get that team in a position to win. That's my takeaway from the game. But you want to bitch about officiating? That, to me, sounds like a guy who sucks the fun out of stuff. You're not fun at parties. When you start talking about officiating, that's the first thing I think about is, man, you must be a terrible person to hang with at parties, which I know isn't true. Why? You're actually a very fun person to hang out with, Joe.
But why?
But when officiating
game...
comes up, you turn into this guy. It's like the state fan hasn't left you, Joe.
Why would the game change in the fourth quarter? That's what I don't understand, and that's the question
because
that you're not answering.
No, we talked about this last week, and I was dismissed.
Okay.
This is the other thing about officiating that grinds my freaking gears. I almost cursed. Last week I was dismissed when I asked for simple questions about consistency and officiating, right? Was I not dismissed? I was dismissed. Now when it affects you,
I didn't dismiss your concerns.
Oh, what happened? Oh, now it's a problem. Because that gets to another deep-seated issue that happened on Sunday. Now you're getting me mad with this officiating talk. You know what really happened on Sunday? The desired outcome that people wanted didn't happen. That desired outcome was for Patrick Mahomes to lose a game at the expense of Joe Burrow getting back to a Super Bowl so we could all talk about how it's Joe Burrow's time and all the time we spent in the regular season talking about how Joe Burrow is the quarterback I would take. If I'm starting a team right now, no, I don't want the guy who's gone to 5 straight conference championships. No, I don't want the guy who's going to win the MVP again. No, I want Josh Allen, who turns the ball over like it's Pez dispenser. No, I want Joe Burrow because he's cool. No, Patrick Mahomes did it again. And now people are mad about that, and they're thinking it's some sort of predetermined outcome. Let's not forget you with Patrick
defensive
Mahomes.
Line.
No, let's not. Ah, there it is. You don't even want to give Patrick Mahomes credit.
I don't.
You called. Oh, I need to see him without the cheetah. He freaking did it without the cheetah. He did it with Marvez.
Yes.
Marmalade Vasquez Scantley.
Yeah, he did it without the cheetah. Instead, he got all the cheaters to help him.
With five
flags.
My goodness.
Six total
and
flags.
That's what it
five
is.
Five thrown against Cincinnati.
That's what it
there
is.
You go.
That's exactly what it is. Every discussion about officiating is about my desired outcome didn't happen, so I got to blame somebody. So I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to blame the officials for ripping the desired outcome from my fingertips.
Why do you think they had no effect on the outcome of the game? That's what I don't understand. Again, four penalties each in the first three quarters. The fourth quarter, 5-1. How does that make any sense to you?
If the Bengals win that game, are we talking about officiating today?
No, we were talking about how they overcame the officiating.
I'm not even talking about it. I'm telling you right now, we're not talking about it. In fact, what we talk about is some of the things that went against the Chiefs' way. Talking about officials is losers' talk. Straight up losers' talk at this point. And it's even worse when it comes from the winning side, too. I mean, you want to talk about basketball. I mean, I don't want to hear again about, you know, UNC or Duke complaining about officials. But anyway, you got it out of your system?
You still haven't answered the question about how it could be even through three quarters and then all of a sudden 5-1.
Is this your first time watching a football game? Is this your first time watching sports?
I'm asking you to answer the question.
I just did by asking you, are you new here?
No, you said official. Talking about officials is for losers.
I'm
saying to you there were six flags thrown
and
five were against one team.
It's loser talk. But because I ask you, are you new here? How many times how many times have you watched NFL games?
I was born yesterday. You're right.
How many times do we see this?
I would have to go back and see if every fourth quarter flag was thrown against one team.
That would
require some homework.
I don't know. It almost feels like you're still bent out of shape about what happened with NC State and Boston College.
Oh, that actually proved my point about what happened with NC State and Boston College.
Okay, fine.
You don't throw that flag.
You don't throw that flag. But shocker, home field advantage ends up benefiting the home field.
That's how it's supposed to work,
shocker,
yes.
Shocker, the Steve Loganism that the refs know who's supposed to win in those situations came to fruition. Bro, I'm like shoulder shrug when it comes to that kind of stuff. It's the OG. Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovias. If you would like to engage in loser discussions, folks, by all means, call. I feel like I'm on an island here. I'm going crazy. I don't know. Call. 860-5-FAN, 860-5-326. If I'm the idiot here who didn't see the grand conspiracy of the Kansas City Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl because they held the flag for them and threw the flag on the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm sorry. It's just loser talk to me.
I chose William Peace University because of the small class sizes. I feel that you get more one-on-one time with teachers. With class sizes like about 16, her teacher, you can really get that one-on-one help a lot of students need.
A 12-to-1 student-to-faculty ratio is just one of the many reasons students choose William Peace University. Extra attention starts day one for career planning with their Career Services Center. Find out all they have to offer at peace.edu.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medications secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
You can't do that to me, Joe. You can't do it. I like to ease into shows sometimes.
You tried to bury the lead from the weekend. That's fine.
I didn't bury the lead. You wanted to make officiating front and center, and sometimes I feel like that's all anybody ever wants to do, and frankly, it's tiresome. I'll say this about officiating.
You know what the real problem is? You still haven't watched the Donahue Netflix.
Well.
And I'm telling you, you're going to watch that and be like, now, wait a second.
You know how you could also ease up on what you saw yesterday? I have a suggestion.
Hey, help me heal myself, doctor.
Stop taking out tickets. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. I do think that sometimes that is the reason why people react the way that they react to officiating.
Of course it's part of it.
Because that's the other thing, too. It's like, I ain't got no dog in no fight. I'm just here to be entertained, okay? So when people were like this angry about, like, how does it affect you in any way, shape, or form?
Of course it does.
I forgot it affects you a little bit differently than it affects me. I'll say this about officiating before we take some calls. 860-5-FAN, 860-5-326. I'm not above talking about officiating. If there's like an egregious call and it's worth talking about, cool. But where I start running into problems, and maybe last week is the reason why I'm completely just burnt out on the particular topic, is that if that's your main takeaway from something, well, then you got brain rot. Straight up, you got brain rot. And oftentimes I do feel that officiating is the go-to thing that happens when what you wanted to happen didn't. So you start finding excuses for why it didn't happen. And the easiest thing, the lowest common denominator, is to bring up officiating. When every sports team, coach, and player understands that part of what they have to deal with is to overcome the human nature of bad officiating. And if you play well enough to overcome those things, well, chances are you'll come out on the winning end. 860-5-FAN, 860-5-326. We got Trey out in Raleigh. Trey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Joe? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man, what you got?
Hey, man, I got to say, I agree with you. I'm a State fan. Same thing. Had no dog in the fight. Watched the game. I would say this is kind of the same parallel to what you guys talked about a couple weeks ago with the State-Carolina game and the you know,
free throw differential.
Free throw, exactly. You know, it came down to, you know, a style of play, and there could have been opportunities, you know, either way. Same thing. Kansas City's D-line was dominant last night.
Mm-hmm.
It put them in a lot of scenarios where the officials had to make a call one way or the other. Didn't work out. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, like you said, the calls didn't make a difference in what came out for the result. The Bengals had a chance to get a first down at the end of the game. You get those first downs, you run out the clock, you have a chance to be the last score, and instead, you know, Bunker's taking the field goal. So I agree. It just officiating wasn't what caused the outcome. And, yeah, I agree with you on this one.
All right, just stay right there, Trey, because – Here's a question for you.
All right.
Okay. The Chiefs' number one defensive back got hurt on a concussion in the first series of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had another injury in their secondary. So you say that the Chiefs had the ability to pick up a first down. Excuse me, the Bengals had the ability to pick up a first down. All right. So of the penalties called in the fourth quarter, two were on Cincinnati's defense. So am I to understand that Eli Apple is the only person who holds in this game, or that Helton from Cincinnati was the only one holding in this game, because that gave Kansas City two first downs? And while you and Joe say that those calls don't affect the outcome of the game, it extends drive, it eats clock, it changes the way that Cincinnati's offense has to play. So what I'd say to you is, like, how in the world does Kansas City secondary play without holding or interfering? I don't buy that. And also, that, by the way, they're backups. So when you say they just had to get a first down, well, guess what? Kansas City did get two first downs based on in my opinion, two highly questionable calls against Cincinnati's secondary. So that's where I would come from on that.
I feel you. I'm not saying there wasn't calls missed. I mean,
nobody's saying that calls weren't missed. I think it just simply comes down to how much value do you put into those missed calls. What was the ultimate thing that came out of it? For instance,
but you are right about their defensive line. I thought Kansas City's defensive line was ultimately the difference in the game. The late sack, in particular, was ultimately the difference in the game.
Trey, appreciate the call, man.
Thanks, guys.
860-5-FAN, 860-5326. People got takes based on this conference championship weekend, so we might as well go in here. Last time I checked, the Cincinnati Bengals did get the ball with 2:30 left, right, in the game?
Correct.
What'd they do?
Well, there was an intentional grounding penalty that, again, had happened at least three other times earlier in the game, and was not called an intentional grounding. And now all of a sudden, miraculously, you know, back at the goal line where they were, that's a loss of down half.
That's a
tough penalty.
It is a loss of down. Was it intentional grounding?
I did not think so, based on the other three instances of Burrow basically grounding the ball to get out of the play because he's missing 60% of his offensive line.
By the way, they had 60% of their offensive line missing in the Buffalo game. What happened there?
I'll tell you what. I thought Zach Taylor did a great job, and let's go full here. I thought he did a great job in the Buffalo game running the football.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, I thought Zach Taylor was chasing his tail a little bit, other than the fourth down call to chase in the double coverage.
Oh, that was the other
because
thing.
You die with your fastball. Yeah. You've heard me say that a million times. And there was a couple of different times where I'm going, hey, you're giving up on the run too quickly here. So, yeah, Cincinnati had their own issues losing the game.
After the intentional grounding call, they are faced with a 3rd and 16, and they end up converting a first down.
To the tight end.
Okay,
yeah.
To the tight end. This is combined with some other, like you mentioned the Jamar Chase, right, with the 4th and 8, right? So there were a couple of plays like this where they're still pulling the magic out of their hat.
But how many times can you pull the magic is what I would say to you.
So Patrick Mahomes managed to pull that magic out of the hat one more time.
If you didn't have to use the tight end play on that longer type play, you could have saved it and used it later.
Look, all I'm saying is they overcame the intentional grounding. They found themselves on a 1st and 10 on the Cincinnati 33, and then they went 4 and out after that. So you want to get into
they punted.
Punting after that.
Yeah.
All right, to the holding thing. We'll close on this segment on this. So the final play of the game where Joe Osai ends up getting called for a roughing. Unsportsmanlike conduct, a late hit, pushing Patrick Mahomes out of bound. Did you think there was holding on that play before?
I don't. I understand why they wouldn't have called that hold there. I don't begrudge them for not throwing the flag every single down.
Typically, when a holding call occurs, it's something egregious in that case. And what I found interesting about last night, was a lot of the Zapruder film that came out of that situation where people saying, how do you miss these two holds, right? Because, Dennis, do we have the audio call from Cincinnati, the Cincinnati radio call of what happened with Osai on the final play of the game that set up Harrison Butker's play? Here's the Cincinnati radio call. I forgot who the analyst is. I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot who the analyst is on the Cincinnati call, but hear this, because it's obvious they knew what was going on.
Running to the right and running well. He's at the 50. He's trying to run for the first down. He goes out of bounds, and the Bengals push him after he was out of bounds. Multiple flags are going to tack 15 yards onto this play. 8 seconds left in regulation, and with that penalty, the Chiefs will be in field goal range.
Man, you have to be more aware. This football team has got a lot of awareness, not on that play.
Yeah, so even they knew what was going on after the play. Osai knew what the heck was going on after
that. I don't have an issue with the last play.
But when I posted that on Twitter last night, when I posted the Bubba Prague video of that play, I had a couple people going, oh, yeah, but what about those holding calls? And a lot of other people started to glom on to the missed holding on that Patrick Mahomes play. You know who actually came out and said, what are you talking about? You don't know what holding is. As one former offensive lineman put it on Twitter, I don't know if it was Jeff Schwartz or somebody else.
No, it was the Browns.
There were a lot of former players or current players that were basically saying, I'm sorry, just because a guy's arm is flailing around doesn't mean there's holding. They had his hands on his chest plate. That's like, those are legal blocks. So essentially what was going on you know, NFL All-22 film Twitter, where a bunch of jabronis like us saying, that's clearly holding. holding? And a bunch of players saying, no, it's not. You don't know what holding is or isn't.
Joe Thomas.
Yeah. He wasn't alone, by the way.
No, I know, but I did see his tweet.
Okay, so you saw Joe Thomas's tweet. All this is to say, when it comes to holding, what we think is holding doesn't necessarily mean what's actually holding. And to your point, there is holding on every play. It has to be pretty egregious for it to be called holding. And even in last night's case, they didn't call it when they could have called it.
I missed the pandemic. I'll just put it that way.
Oh.
When the refs realized there's literally no one in the building, the only way for us to continue to get viewership is for us to get the hell out of the way and call procedural penalties and late hits.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if we could just have a game like that, I would be ecstatic.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.